Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2022. Today we are reading from the big book. We're on page 43 of the big book. As far as the chapter is concerned, we're going to take apart paragraph one today. And it begins with Fred's story speaks for itself and ends with commence to solve their problems. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Deb E. from Montana, 12 Traditions, Mary P. from Texas. Readers today and support would be Sherry Z., Penny L.C., Becca R. Greeting newcomers at the last part of our meeting today would be Carla C. She's also going to get you some sponsor contact information. And giving announcements today will be Leslie W. The share ID numbers. For yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that's Wednesday, November 16th, 19645, 19,645. And then today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, Thursday, the 17th of November, 19651, 19,651. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message. The compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Let me back up and read the preamble, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. I would now like to ask Deb E., a little bit out of order here, to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Deb E. in Montana, a compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Deb E. Debbie's from Montana. I would now like to ask Mary P. from Texas to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Star 1, key function only, please, for muting. Thank you so much. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and the chapter more about alcoholism. We're on page 43 at the very top. First paragraph begins with Fred's story speaks for itself and ends with commence to solve their problems. That single paragraph today, please. And I would like to have Sherry Z. open us up by reading that paragraph and describing her experience with it, and then we'll open it up to the remainder of the fellowship this morning. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, visionaries, and thank you all for your service. I'm Sherry Z., and I'm in Southern California. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. So I love that they included Fred's story, because Fred's story is one that is about someone saying, I'm not as bad as that. That's not me. The food hasn't gotten that bad. And the fact that they included it let us know that there are so many people like myself who said for years, that's not me. Mm-mm. I can still eat this. I can still do this. There's another way. And it took 31 plus years for me to really, for it to hit home that, you know what? There are thousands like me. That is me. That is me. I am a compulsive overeater of the hardest variety. And why they said that is he only felt the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics had to be pretty badly mangled. And I looked up the word mangled. It's disfigured, cut, torn, crushed, severely mutilated. You know, why I said that wasn't me is because I hadn't gotten to 700 pounds. I mean, that's a weird benchmark. Like, why I said things was, oh, because that's not me, because, and I had all these random ways. But each of those little nips, every time I tried something else and it didn't work, it's like, oh, God, that is me. And I'm so grateful because working these 12 steps and carrying the message, which I never wanted to do, and now I do it, and it's hard, and I do it, and I love it, but that is what's enabled me to commence to solve my problems, to not be the director, to not be in fear, and I just want to share, every day I have to work this. I got up this morning in fear and terror and lying to myself, and I get to write out, you know what, these are the lies that I tell myself. I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you to all of you, and I look forward to hearing you all.
Thank you very much, Sherry Z. Sherry Z from California. The lines are going to be open now for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 43 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you'd like to share on that paragraph only today, I'd like to take your first name, the first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state. And although we do value everyone's experience here, and there are a lot of us, thank God, here, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others and all might be able to have a space to be able to share. There's only about 14 spaces a day to share. So if you give me your name and your information and you haven't shared for several days, I'd love to hear your name today.
Freya H.
Bessie O.
Liz
Freya,
A.
Bessie and Liz Bessie A. O.
That's Wendy B.
Yep, got Wendy B. I got, got you, Bessie.
Wendy. Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Rhonda L.
Rhonda L. Okay, gotcha. Okay, that should do it. Let's do that, and then we can do another mix-up here in just a few minutes. So I have Freya H., Bessie O., Liz A., Wendy B., Nancy, I'm not sure, I can't remember what the initial was, and Rhonda L. So we're going to start out this morning with Freya. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning. This is Freya H., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. I'm in Colorado. Thank you so much for your service, everybody. This Fred story does speak for itself. And one thing that is very meaningful to me is that Fred's story is a response to, I'm looking at my book here, to the paragraph on the bottom of 38, going on to 39, where it says, you know, some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did. You know, we have not lost everything in life through our addiction, and we certainly do not intend to. Thanks for the information. That totally sums up my thinking. And instead of spending the pages trying to convince me why I'm wrong, instead they say, well, let's just share an illustration. And then they let Fred tell his own story. And Fred's story does indeed speak for itself, in that if I can identify with any part of Fred's story, you know, that thinking of, oh, you know, of, okay, I understand I have a problem, but I'm just going to keep on guard. And for me, what that looked like was coming into OA and learning about the program, but really not grasping that the whole surrender piece. Like I learned about the program. I learned I had this allergy of the body. And I thought, okay, so I need to really be on top of that allergy of the body. Now I've got to manage it. And I really didn't get the obsession of the mind piece for a long time. So it's so powerful to read this story. And the part that I could identify with in this entire chapter, long before I, you know, could identify with the book, but I could identify with the description of the thinking. I knew that I had this thing, not because I had a certain weight issue, not because I had health problems, because I had that thinking. And I just happened to, you know, have this occasional bulimia thing going on. I didn't even realize how obsessed I was with my body and weight and food and managing myself and managing my image. I thought that was just normal. And so I'm so grateful that this book is laid out the way it is, where they offer me an illustration, they offer me a story, and that I'm invited to, you know, pick up this spiritual toolkit that's laid at my feet when I am ready for it. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Freya H. from Colorado. Next up is Bessie O. from Colorado, followed by Liz A. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Bessie O. from Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. And I so appreciate the share so far and being able to share in these passages. The part that really strikes me this morning is most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. So, you know, it's like that I'm pretty badly mangled and I come in and I put the food down. And it's just, I love that idea of commence. Like, we just, it's but a beginning. And, you know, working these steps, you just see more and more. I guess I wanted to share an example of how this program helps to solve our problems. I am just blown away by the these like little, you know, that dimmer switch and just gradually seeing more and more and how, you know, my heart, it just changes, you know, as a consequence of being able to see more and more. I woke up yesterday and I have my daily routine of, you know, prayer and meditation and writing and reading. And then I come upon a wrapper that's, you know, strewn in a way by a family member. And it was just like immediately, it's like, whoa, you know, like feeling that that disturbance and how, you know, using this program and following the instructions just as they're outlined, it's commencing to, like, God is entering into my heart and it softens, you know, it's transformed, and how that initial reaction to that wrapper gets, it's, you know, I can see it now as like a, just a perfect opportunity to like, to grow stronger in my ability to like, just be patient and tolerant of others, which is a real struggle. And I shudder to think how I used to respond to things, or and used to, how I can every day if I don't take this medication, you know, how I can, something like a strewn wrapper can just lead to these behaviors that absolutely lead me right back to these character defects and eventually binging and restricting. That's where I go, you know, as a consequence of my thinking. So if this is just but a beginning, and it's just so infinitely better living this way. So really grateful for this program of recovery and you all, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bessie O. from Colorado. Next up is Liz A. from California, followed by Wendy B. from Arizona. Hi, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Los Angeles, California, and thank you so much for your service. Oh, my God, this paragraph is, like, so perfect. This is my day 16, and, you know, when I read this, at first I had to look up what this ringer thing was, and what the dictionary said, it's a device in which laundry is pressed between rollers to extract water, and, you know, it was like, I pray to God that this is my last bottom. I came in to OA 35 years ago, bulimic, and I recovered from that bulimia and actually, believe it or not, was able to eat like a normal person for 35 years. Then COVID struck and the pandemic. And I started eating and eating, and I couldn't stop. And I wasn't being bulimic anymore, so I'm putting the weight on. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I better go to OA. I go to OA, and it took me a while to find vision and you know, big book meetings. And I realized, my mind was like, I am not obese. I'm a normal body weight. Why should I do this? But I could not stop once I started, and I couldn't stop myself from stopping again. And I know my last binge showed me, I know that I can gain 200 pounds if I just did this every day, which is where this was leading for me. And so, yes, I understand why people have to go be pretty badly mangled before they really commence this. But I pray to God, I don't want to go there. I'm 65 years old. You know, it's like I don't have the rest of my life to spend the next 20 years, you know, going in and out. I've got to get this. I love my God. I want to do my God's will for me. And I, like I said, I pray this is my last debacle. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you very much, Liz A. from California. Next up, Wendy B. from Arizona. Then Nancy, you know who you are. I didn't get your last initial. You'll be after Wendy 3 minutes from now. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I too, am really glad they included Fred's story. You know, I can relate to his high bottom. You know, we don't all have to have a low bottom, you know, before we are willing to accept help. You know, we can get out of denial and face the truth of our problem. We can see where the path, you know, we were headed on would end up, you know, and we can choose to get off, you know, that road, you know, that road to destruction. We can surrender right where we're at, you know, and I didn't need to get diabetes or have my feet amputated. I didn't need to get morbidly obese and break furniture, you know. I could see where I was headed, you know, and it wasn't a pleasant picture. And, you know, I had my own wake-up call, you know, when I got really sick, and I just got so uncomfortable in my own skin, I became willing to change. You know, I was able to recognize my way wasn't working. You know, it didn't bring me happiness, you know, and I got to the crossroad where, you know, the pain of staying the same became greater than the pain of embracing a new way to live life. And, you know, God's the one who solves our problems, you know. So as soon as we surrender to his will for our lives, you know, and our spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically, you know, and he guides us step by step out of the mess we made of our lives. So, you know, maybe my mess wasn't as bad as, you know, some other people's messes, you know, but it was bad enough for me to come out of denial and admit my need for God's help. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Nancy, you're up next.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. And thanks, everyone, for being here. Welcome, newcomers. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. You know, for me, I lived in the delusion that I'm not hurting anybody. I'm eating the way I want to eat, and that's that. And my poor kids, they never said much to me, but my husband would usually yell it. He'd say, "Nancy, I never know what I'm coming home to. Am I coming home to a nice, sweet wife, or am I coming home to a monster? Lately, it's been I'm coming home to a monster almost every single day. What is wrong with you?" And that was the problem. I didn't know what was wrong with me. All I know is that I just could not get through a night without getting up out of bed and stuffing my face, no matter what I did. I even asked my husband once, I said, "Dear, you think maybe we could just put a lock on the door and then you could give me the key in the morning and I could go downstairs?" And he just looked at me like, "You're just crazy." And he was right. I was crazy. And I still have the disease that wants to knock me out and knock me down and mangle me up a little bit more. I was over 200 pounds, and I just was ready to absolutely throw in the towel. Thank God I found the 12-step recovery program. And I do make living amends now to my family. They're grown and gone now, but they know I love them, and I hope someday I'll be able to make the amends that I've always wanted to make, but we'll see. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. from Arizona. Before I call up Rhonda L. to speak for her 3 minutes, I wanted to invite folks to get ready in 3 minutes. The lines will be open more for additional comments on paragraph one, page 43 of the big book, and it begins with Fred's story speaks for itself. that single paragraph right there. So get ready, 3 minutes. But for now, let's listen to Rhonda L. from Canada about her experience with paragraph one. Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning, everyone. Rhonda L. calling from Toronto, Canada, compulsive overeater. When I look at Fred's story, I see Fred's story with Rhonda's face. And I didn't really know how badly mangled I was until now that I started looking back on my life. I really just kept going, and I'm expecting that I had to solve my problems, not realizing, like, you know, I lost jobs, I lost my first marriage, I missed career opportunities, I didn't do my job to the best of my ability, and I impacted my children's childhood, made my family part of my crazy diet schemes, and spent so much money on myself. So when I look back on it now, I was badly mangled, but I didn't realize that the role that my compulsive overeating was really playing in my own demise. And actually, you know, I thank God for Fred, because this whole experience at OA just helps me understand my life and understand that, you know, there is a solution, and there is hope. And in order to look at it now, I'm able to move forward and make living amends and realize that, you know, I was Fred, but now I can be Rhonda, and a better Rhonda for everyone else and for myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rhonda L. from Canada. Just want to mention real quick, like as we open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph one, page 43, that if you shared within the last 3 days, we'd ask that you'd step back just a moment and let somebody else share today. Appreciate that. I'd like to take first names first. Yes, hello.
Danielle W.
Kathy B.
Like boy?
Yes.
Got it.
Deborah G.
Jen Z.
Miriam G. from Southern California.
Miriam G. That'll be it, I think, today, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so we have Babylonia, Danielle, Kathy, Deborah, Jen, and Miriam. We're going to start out with Babylonia. Good morning. Star One, Babylonia.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for such a wonderful meeting. I love everybody's shares, and I'm so grateful for this program. I'm just feeling super joyful today, and I just want to share my joy on the line, because the joy shared is twice the joy, and I woke up this morning excited with a happy smile on my face, and I told God, God, I just want to spend the day with you, and I'm excited for today, and it's all because of this program. And this program has taught me that I can cultivate an attitude of gratitude even through the darkest of moments. And I just tore my hamstring a month ago, and so I couldn't exercise. And at first I was down, but then the program's like, no, girl, you got to cultivate an attitude of gratitude for all that you have and for what God is teaching you through this torn hamstring, to be gentle to your body and to not abuse it through exercise. So thank you, Overeaters Anonymous. If this is the only blessing God ever gives me for the rest of my life, I'll be happy. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Babylonia A. from California. I just want to say, take this opportunity with that particular length of gratitude, that this Sunday is the annual Gratitude of Attitude Sunday Special Edition, so you don't want to miss that as well. Next up is Danielle W., followed by Kathy B.
Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. Really, really grateful to be with all of you this morning. I had just kind of a crazy experience yesterday. I was sharing with a good friend of mine what my disease looked like, the decades that I was, you know, face down in the food. And he comes from another program, and his disease took him to some really, really dark places. In fact, at one point in his life, he was both jailed and homeless. And there was this really funny moment where I was, you know, his experience was so severe. And yet when I was sharing my disease, at one point there was just this look of astonishment on his face. And he said, "Wow, you were really sick." And it was such, I mean, it was funny, but it was such a poignant moment for me because it helped me really remember how mangled my life was, that I, you know, I was really sick. The things I did, the craziness that my life was around food and how severe that can be. And I think it's a good reminder for me. You know, it's easy for me to sort of fantasize it wasn't so bad. And the more distance I get and the more sobriety I get and the better my life gets, that sort of falls away. And I think sometimes being able to go back and be reminded, wow, that was crazy. And that I don't ever want to go back there. And I'm grateful now, as bad as it was, I'm really grateful because as it says here, most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. And I really know for myself, if it hadn't gotten that bad, if I wasn't that sick, I would never have surrendered. I would have tried to struggle through my disease alone my whole life. And now I don't have to. Now I'm in a place of neutrality, and I'm grateful for the gifts that this program has given me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. from California. Kathy B., you're up next for 3 minutes, followed by Deborah G. Kathy B., quick star one, please.
Okay, I apologize. My name is Kathy B. I am a compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. And I just want to say with this paragraph, I do relate with Fred, but I also relate with the Jay Walker and with Jim. Because when I first came into the program, I really was pretty mangled and beaten down. And I thought if I could only control the food, if I could only lose weight, you know, my life would be great. Everything would be fine. And, but I was wrong because right underneath the food problem was a mangled up mess that I had created of my life. And, which was, you know, the bedevilments, resentments, fear. But there is hope because of the, you know, the program, the steps, they helped me to untangle that mess, to clear out the wreckage, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to mention in the paragraph before, I just love the statement, you know, where it says the spiritual principles will solve all of our problems. And I love that statement. And the very first time that I ever read it with my sponsor, the first time, I just held on to it, and I'm working the steps again. I started step three this morning. But I love that statement, and I'm hanging on to it because I want my story to be happy, joyous, and free. And I and with the food down too, one day at a time. But as I've heard in these rooms, and I'm really reminding myself that this program is not for those who want it or for those who need it. It is for those who do it, and I'm it's action. So. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. Next up is Deborah G., followed by Jen Z. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Melanie, and thank you so much for your service today and everyone's service making this meeting possible and all your shares today. Thank you so much for 12-Step and me, and welcome, welcome to the newcomers. You never have to live like you're living now. And this is an awesome program. I just love it. And yes, I'm just so grateful that I do have the mind that I have today because there has been a shift. There has been a transformation. Before, my mind was so much in insanity, craziness, trying to figure this out, doing it again and going back thinking, oh, it won't happen again. You know, and then it affected being in the present moment, helping others affected how I thought of my beliefs, my behavior. My behavior was so off. That was the mangled mint, was what was going on with my thinking, you know. And I'm so grateful today to have the awareness that I have this mind and that I can do something with this mind. And I learned that it wasn't about the food, but that was what I kept doing that kept mangling me in, like was talked about earlier, that spiritual malady, keep getting thrown back into that, thinking that I can even trying to straighten my life out. Not only was I trying to control the food and insanity, but trying to control my behavior, my unmanageability, because I had no power. But I didn't see I had no power. I didn't see it at the time. And I'm so grateful to be aware, alert, and awake today to see that. And I am doing something because of all of you helping me. And that's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Next up, Jen Z. from California, followed by Miriam G. And there's a good chance there will be time for another share after Miriam. So 6 more minutes. Take a think of that. But for now, we're going to listen to Jen Z. Hi, Jen.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia, and I'm from East Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service, for making this meeting possible. I related to the passage pretty badly mangled. I was pretty badly mangled physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, you know, physically with the food, of course, you know, I was over 300 pounds, diabetic, high blood pressure, you know, various other issues. And, you know, but mentally and emotionally, I was mangled as well. And, you know, I came into program, I lost the weight, but I was still sick, still have the obsession. And so I finally got with a vision sponsor, and I'm working the steps in a way that I feel I'm getting something out of them now, and straight out of the book, you know. And I just feel really good about what I'm doing with my sponsor. And, you know, I just recently finished step 2 with my sponsor, and I have a whole new definition of a higher power now. And it's been really awesome working with her, and, you know, going through the steps the way they're written. And, you know, I'm becoming more aware of my self-will and, you know, things like that. And I also, you know, an example of, you know, the mental and emotional problem is, you know, I'm sick right now. I have COVID and I cannot exercise. And, you know, I think that I was kind of exercising a lot before I got sick. And I think that, you know, maybe it was my higher power's way of being like, you know what, you need to slow down. You need to let your body heal. You need to let your body rest. You need to take care of yourself and not exercise for 2 hours a day. And, you know, I lost my train of thought. Just turning that over to my higher power is what I'm working on, you know. Instead of freaking out that I can't exercise and getting into the obsession, you know, it's like, no, I just need to turn it over to my newfound higher power that I've just defined for myself with my sponsor. And, you know, God works in my life and things happen for a reason, you know. So maybe this is God just telling me slow the heck down. And anyway, thank you so much for letting me share. I hope everybody has a great day.
Thank you very much, Jen Z from California. Next up is Miriam G to speak for 3 minutes, and it looks like we'll have time for 1 or 2 more shares after Miriam, 3 minutes from now. Good morning to you, Miriam G, California.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Miriam G from Westlake Village, Southern California. This program has been so miraculous for me. I came in 1977, and I have never left. I was 40 when I came in. Now I'm 85. I don't weigh anything that I did when I came in. This program is just, like they say, life-changing. And I just This is the first time I'm sharing on visions. I'm always afraid to share. I feel like I'm not going to do it right, whatever. My sponsor tells me what you share is what somebody's supposed to hear. And I have physical disabilities, and so I can't do the exercising that my mind wants me to do. But my higher power takes such good care of me. Right now, my husband's in the hospital, and he has a lot of physical problems with an illness. We don't know what it is yet. And I love him so much. We're married 59 years. I am not binging. I know that God is taking care of him and taking care of me. And this program has given me that. When I came into OA, I didn't know what the word binging meant. I just knew I could not stop eating. I just couldn't. And my clothes kept getting tighter and tighter. Everything was just horrible. And it's just, it's not perfect now, but it's wonderful. And I'm happy to be alive. And thank you so much for vision.
Thank you very much, Miriam G. from California. Time's going to allow for at least one more. Let's go with one or two more people that might want to comment on paragraph one, page 43. Star one, please.
Mo H.
Hey, Mo. Good morning. Gotcha.
Yeah. Want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead and see where we go from there. We'll catch the other one maybe and see what time does. Yeah. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Melanie, and good morning to everybody. And again, welcome to newcomers. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. You know, I was listening to everybody's shares, and they just, you know, just keep hitting new ideas for me that I think when I came in, I didn't think I was badly mangled. You know, my therapist sent me because I told her I think I have a problem with food, but I just thought, you know, no big deal. I'll go in, you know, I'll get the diet and lose the weight and, you know, that'll be it. And it had to be many years later and many relapses later, many slips and relapses and around the corner and everything until in 2015. So that was quite a few years after I came in. I called a lady up and I said, I can't stop. And I knew what I was doing at that point. I can't stop. I need help. And she said to me, are you desperate? Which I think that relates to, are you pretty badly mangled? And are you desperate is earlier on in the big book. And are you willing to go to any length? And at that point in my life, I was desperate. I had been binging for 2.5 months and put on 25 pounds after 5 years of abstinence. It was like, how did that happen? Well, it happened because I really wasn't working a very deep spiritual program. I was doing, you know, what I was told to do, but I really wasn't accepting it all inside of me. And so with that answer to her, that I was, yes, I'm desperate, and yes, I'm willing to go to any length, she said, you know, I'm going to take you through the 12 steps, through the big book. And it was a brand new experience for me. It was an eye-opening, heart-opening, ear-opening, everything opening to me. And then she suggested, she didn't tell me, she said I was recovering from a surgery, you know, to look on the website, A Vision for You. And I started listening to meetings, and I tell people I feel like I was a dried up sponge, and I started listening, and I just started to puff up, and like, wow. So you people help me every day, even, you know, post my husband's passing. There was a lot of help and support out there, and for that I am grateful, and with that I pass.
Thank you very much, Mo H. from California. Yep, time's going to allow for one more share. If that's you, I'd like to hear your name and your state, please. Star one.
Jordan L.
Oh, I heard Jordan L. Sorry about that, Pam. I heard Jordan L. first. Okay, go. Your turn. Colorado woman.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. pretty badly mangled. So I came in to Overeaters Anonymous with not so much lots of ideas about God, but lots of ideas about the 12 steps, about anonymous programs, and about what it meant for life to be unmanageable. You know, like when I got sober as an alcoholic, life was really unmanageable, man. Like I was broke. I didn't have a friend in the world. I was dating these huge losers. I had had sex with strangers and complete blackouts. Like life was really, really, really unmanageable. So when I was trying to get abstinent 8 years later, it was really, really, really difficult to see. It was really difficult to see how my life was unmanageable. no matter how badly mangled I was as a result of the food, like I just couldn't like comprehend how it could be as bad as that, as the circumstances of me getting sober, you know? And so I gotta say, like, Fred's story saved my life. I'm so grateful for Fred, man. I'm so grateful that he wrote about this, about not having to sink to those depths before he can admit that he thinks himself a real alcoholic and that he's really licked this time, you know? Like, I am powerless over food. I'm really licked this time. This is unmanageable, you know? So I'm just very grateful for Fred and his story this morning. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L., for wrapping up our shared recorded portion of our meeting this morning, and we're going to now transition into the unrecorded portion, which is about 10 minutes with closing and concluding this particular meeting. Thank you so much for everyone that was a part of this service today to make this Thursday meeting possible for those that are still suffering and for those that share your experience, strength, and hope all day long here as they are truly hope and possibility and promises for each one of us. Thank you so much. So I'd like to direct our attention now to Penny L.C., who will read from page 164 of the Big Book to close us out, and then we will join in the Serenity Prayer together as we transition. Hey, good morning, Penny L.C. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.